Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message. As we finish up 1 John, run oft. The title of the message today is R-U-N-N-O-F-T. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It has great bluegrass music and southern gospel and some of the best lines in a movie that I've ever seen. It is written and produced by the Coen brothers, who will make a genius of a movie, and then the next one they write will be a total flop. But I enjoy this one because it has some Christian things in it, and the journey leads them through some adventures with different people of different backgrounds, but it always leads back to God at the end. If you watch it, though, I warn you, the language is not all that good, unless you watch it on TV or possibly even on VidAngel. Now, there is a scene where one of the Hogwallop's wives has gone away, and every time the ex-husband talks about her in front of the kid, he said, "The missus done R-U-N-N-O-F-T." Though the kid understands everything he's saying, of course, eventually the kid desires to leave the dad too and tells the criminals that he needs to get away and he's going to R-U-N-N-O-F-T. Over the years as a pastor, I've seen a lot of people R-U-N-N-O-F-T. I think it's like the movie, and they never got to take the chains off from their time in the world, and they just run away from God, and they run away from the church. Because we go through the Bible and get to a point where someone hears something they don't like, and they have a choice. They allow God to get to changing their lives as they surrender to Him, or they get to step in and they leave, to go to a more laid-back church, or just skip church altogether. And there have been some that I was truly surprised about in both senses. Some that I never thought would leave, and they skedaddled. And some that have stayed, and I thought they would never handle being a believer. Either way, some don't like what's being taught, and they are R-U-N-N-O-F-T. When John wrote his gospel, he wrote it saying at the end, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The reason after someone gets saved, you tell them to go through John, is because John wrote it so people would believe Jesus is the Son of God. The first epistle, 1 John, is written so that people can have assurance that they have eternal life, a complete knowledge of that assurance. There are denominations that tell you that you can't know for sure if you are really saved. They need to read this verse, and John was there. We learn from these five chapters that we can know if we are saved. The whole letter, we have knowledge, and we know we have eternal life. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's not essential to the believer to have assurance to be saved, but it is essential for him if he wants to be effective." There will be a lot of believers going to heaven troubled and struggle with that. But if you want to be effective for Jesus, assurance is looking at someone in the eye and knowing that you have it. You need more assurance. You need to seek Him, if you need that, and you need to read more of His Word, the Bible. It's 11:50 a.m. as I was writing this message. And if you knew Jesus was coming at 3:30 p.m. today, what would you be doing? I've never been raptured, and I haven't died at this moment. What would we do if we knew Jesus was coming? 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 14, says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Okay, so this is not a prayer that says you're going to get everything you ask for. It's a specific prayer that's dealing with assurance. If you want more assurance in your salvation and confidence, you should ask for it. He says He will give us more assurance. He says He will take care of our needs. He says He cares about our unsaved family and friends. We need to pray for those. Verse 16. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. This is an amazing verse. This talks about a Christian brother or sister who is living in compromise. Eternal life is cooling in them, and this verse says that we need to pray for them. If you see a Christian sinning, then we're to pray for them not to sin anymore. And we should pray, the Bible says right here in this verse, we should pray in confidence. This verse says when we pray this, God will restore eternal life to them. This is a beautiful picture because it says if you know someone who's backsliding, and I know some of them, we should be praying for them with assurance and seek God for them that God will restore life to them. And thank God there have been times where I've backslidden and people have prayed for me to come back and be restored as well. God loves to take a messed up, broken up, compromised sinner and put them back together. Because I've learned telling them does not work most of the time, but God promises if we get on our knees for them, He will restore them and get them on their feet. So look at the verses that involve sin. 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, sin is sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, lifestyle choice activities, stealing, greediness, drunkenness, and swindling. Galatians 5 says, it's idolatry, overindulgence in sexual pleasures, recreational drug use, hatred, someone who causes discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness. Revelation 22, the people who are thrown into hell, the number one reason, recreational drug use, sexual immorality, murderers, idolaters, those who lie for a living. And Revelation 4, times in an end times, four times in an end times book, refers to recreational drug use as something that causes people to fall away from God or not go to heaven. This is difficult to see in a believer who has slipped or fallen. They're caught up in something in one of these verses. I, as a pastor, have deep compassion for lost people outside the church. But as a pastor, I have deep compassion for those lost inside the church too. And don't tell me there are no lost people in the church. I was a lost individual inside the church for many years. But also, as I'm writing this, I found out once again that people are talking about me in the church again. People who are R-U-N-N-O-F-T. We just learned in 1 John how to be assured of our salvation. We learned how to know this 100%. If you're involved in any of these things, I pray for you and ask God to help if you are. I've slipped myself at times. So I'm not saying I'm better than any of you in my walk or that we are more elite if we are not in those things. We're concerned over your souls. When I slip, people were concerned for me, and I'm glad for that, because eternity is something we all want to experience. But we understand not all people will get it. An Arminian would say you were saved and got caught up in sin and lost your salvation. A Calvinist would say you thought you were saved, but seeing from your sin, you never really were saved. I honestly don't care about either. I care about your soul. And I want you to have assurance you are saved. 1 John says you can be assured you are not saved if you're walking in sin and lawlessness. But the Bible does say you can also lean on Jesus, and he will get you to where you need to be if only you surrender to him. There are sins that lead to death. Sin leads to death, the Bible says. Not if you slip up in sin as you walk with him and get back on track, but it's habitual sins. It's difficult contextually, as the last part of it, 1 Corinthians 11, Ananias and Sapphira, it is a Calvinist and Arminian nightmare, but we will bring damage to the flock of God if we do that. There is a sin unto death that defined is you miss the path of righteousness. You wander far off from the ways of God when defined in the Greek language. Verse 17. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. People born of God don't continue practicing sin because Christ keeps them, and Satan can stumble them, but not fasten to them. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Jude and Peter also talk about God keeping us. We keep ourselves only because of the Keeper, capital K. The devil will try to fasten himself on you, but Christ protects us from that. Verse 19. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Evil is the same name of the world as well. The world is not neutral or happenstance. The word in the Greek means just not evil and miserable, but we talked about this in the series, porneros, the word we get pornography from. The world lays in the condition of not being content, but sucking you along with it. The specific design of the world and the ruler of it, Satan, which also is defined as porneros, is to suck you in with it, and it and him are heading to destruction. It is all bait that is made to drag you along like bait to a fish. Verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. God gave us this understanding, and the world does not have that awareness. And we can pray, Lord, take that veil from their minds and bring them understanding, salvation. You are a blind person, and you're standing next to each other. There's a blind person and a person with sight. And everything around you, both of you, is falling apart. Chaos is among you, both of you, and destruction. And you turn to the blind person and you say, hey, do you see all this? It's crazy, isn't it? Then they say to you, I can't see any of that. It's the same spiritually. Verse 21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We should never bow down to a statue, which I don't see any of us doing that. But if you look at the statues of the time and what they represented, Asherah, she was the god of sexual pleasure. Baal, the god of the elements and the weather, Mother Earth and nature, which is Wicca and New Age. Bacchus, the god of alcohol, the god of overindulgence. And then there was Mammon, who was the god of money. We may bow down to these vices and can let these idols keep us away from God. And he is the true God. The other great part of O Brother, Where Art Thou? Is the mix of people who are in the movie. This makes me think of the mix of people we have that come in and out of the church. You have Ulysses Everett McGill. He's the unaffiliated one. He asks the Lord to help him in situations of benefit and receives them and sees the miracles, but then discredits them to something that has no credit whatsoever and looks stupid for him even saying it. But he is the one who is in it just because he's there being affected. There's Pete, who is on the fence. He got baptized, he got saved, but he struggles with things. But you see him grow as the movie goes on. He has a lot of family issues, and he doesn't like liars. He jumps back and forth, riding the fence from being baptized and saved to drinking and lusting. There's Delmar O'Donnell, who gets baptized and saved throughout the movie. He becomes the voice of reason to Everett and to Pete, but of course they also make him out to be stupid and simple because of his belief, which he isn't too bright, but he was smart enough at least to get baptized and saved. There's Big Dan Teague, the Bible salesman, who in actuality is not selling the good book, but hiding behind Christianity to selfishly move in on people and take what he wants. He uses God to get what he wants and makes himself look good in a very selfish way. Then there's Tommy Johnson. He sells his soul to the devil because he wasn't really using it in the first place, just so he can play his guitar well. So he hangs out with these three criminals who are all in different places with God. Then, of course, there's the devil. The devil's in this movie as well. He's a sheriff who is after people. He's ready to take their souls. He lives in the world and is out to steal, to kill, and destroy, which is a very accurate depiction of who the devil is. Then there's Pappy O'Daniel, the devout Christian and corrupt politician who tells everyone of his moral fiber and his goodness throughout the movie. That event invented good values and moral fiber, but uses that to win his elections. Then there's a blind seer who has no job. He has no name. He's truly trying to follow God wherever he would lead and sharing with others as he's moving along prophetically about that. And to be honest, if you were to go to any church in the good old U.S. of A., you would see all these different personalities and many other personalities gracing the church. Some saved and some not so saved. All John refers to in his epistles and his gospels. Saved and unsaved. Which one are you? Because in the church there are all different people. Saved people, lifetime church people, sinners, saints, messed up people, people that are just there to take advantage of people. There's a lot of different kinds of people. Are you the doubter, like Ulysses, that when you need God, you believe, but when it's not convenient for your life, you forget about God? Because there are a lot of people today who are following Jesus as Savior when he's convenient for them, but when he doesn't fit their lifestyle choices, they forget about God. Are you like Pete, who struggles and you dive into Christianity with both feet first, and now you're just cruising through life telling everyone you love God, but really you're just lukewarm and hoping Jesus won't vomit you out of his mouth? Are you like Delmar, and God saves you, and when people defend themselves against the faith, you're just timid and quiet, or just not in the Word enough to defend against it? The people look at you and think Christianity is just a religion for dumb people. Are you Tommy Johnson, who, like John the Apostle, said just belongs to the devil, and instead of turning to Jesus, you just live and enjoy this short time in the world? Are you Pappy O'Daniel, who uses God to move forward in life? How he uses his relationship and God to grow his business and his position in politics and in the community, but inside really isn't living for God, but living for what he can get with God. This is a scary one because he believes he's a Christian. Or just a big Dan Teague, who's pretending to be a Christian so he can get everything that he wants out of life because he knows Christians are called to be giving and generous, so he decides to take advantage of this love, which many people do nowadays. Who goes to all the churches in the area to get what they can and call the church and pretend they are disadvantaged to give a pity story and get stuff for their own selfish desires. Are you the blind seer who's traveling, you're following the Lord's will, and along the way helping people to grow closer to Jesus? Because at the beginning of the movie, the blind seer prophesies over the three men. He tells them they'll see a cow on a roof. In the end of the movie, they're praying not to die, and the town they are in is flooded. They escape from a hanging due to the flood, and Ulysses is accounting everything to just dumb luck, and he sees a cow on a roof to affirm it was God watching out for them. The goal of these messages in 1 John, since we've been talking about them, was hopefully to reveal to you which person you are and help you to grow. That is the desire of this book. It's assurance that you can be saved, and if you are not, that you can get there. That is what we desire for you today. You see, like I said, you could probably relate to one of these characters, or maybe you can't relate at all. But the understanding is this. We're all at some level in our Christianity. We're all at some level in our walk. We may not be even moving forward in our Christianity. We really don't know. I don't know where you're at. But there's compassion. And there's people in this church today who care about you, who love you, and who desire you to move forward in Christ. Like I said, I don't know where you stand. If you're a big Dan Teague or Ulysses Everett McGill or whatever you may be. I don't know. That's between you and God. But my desire in life is that we would all be more like the blind seer. You know, because sometimes I could switch around and be a different character. And I'm sure you can too. But eventually, hopefully, we're all just blind seers. That we were once lost and that we were found. That we were blind and that we can see. That we can move forward in Christ, that we can move forward in who He is. I hope that's what you desire today. I hope that's what you want today. Because the whole goal of this is for you to be assured. Like I said at the beginning of this message, it's not to condemn people or to make people feel better than each other. It's not about that. It's about where are you at? Where are you at in your walk and how you can become closer to God? How you can become assured that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That is my desire today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, and praise you for all that you are and all that you do in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the series today. I thank you, Lord, for 1 John, that you helped us to be assured of our salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would help us wherever we're at. We may be a Big Dan Teague or a Del Mar or a Everett, whatever we are, Lord, wherever we're at, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to continue to walk with you, to be totally dependent upon you and upon who you are. And Father, in that, Lord, I give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.